Get ready to drop the puck, take a free throw, and step up to the plate. It's time for the Metro East Sports Podcast on lineupmedia.fm.
From the Lineup Media Studios, welcome to the Metro East Sports Podcast, season number 2, show number 56, recorded Monday, January 31st, 2022. And I'm feeling kind of nostalgic because tonight is the last show of season number 2. Next week begins season number 3, and we're starting it off with a big season 3 spectacular with special guests and prizes and all kinds of crazy things. Thanks to partners, as always, to Cassins Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, Callaway Home Loans, Keller Williams Marquis Jeb and Ginger Blasting Game, Integrity Spine and Joint Center, Front Office Fiduciary Network, and of course, Oak Brook Golf Club. We're talking all things sports in the Metro East. I'm Dave Leip. And show number 56 features Nicole Johnson, 2A Golfer of the Year, MESPY winner for the second year in a row. Joe Shannon from Highland High School, cross country coach, 2A MESPY winners for Boys Team of the Year. And Joe is the coach for next year, assistant coach last year. And guest number 3 is Jim Stiebel and Cameron Haig of Mater Dei Catholic High School, 2A MESPY winners for football, team and player of the year. 3 things you can do to help. Number 1, subscribe to our podcast. It's free and you'll love it. Number 2, follow us in all of our social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and subscribe on YouTube. If you don't check out this interview on YouTube, you won't see that Nicole Johnson is not only an incredible golfer, but she also looks like, who do people tell you that you look like, Nicole?
I don't know.
Supermodel. How tall are you?
6'1".
6'1".
Yes.
All right. Number 3, if you have a story idea, email me at mespdave@gmail.com, and you can always nominate your favorite team for Team of the Month for Integrity Spine and Joint Center, Metro East Team of the Month. Could be a park and rec team, could be a middle school team, a high school team, you name it. To nominate a Team of the Month, send your suggestion to mespdave@gmail.com. Please put Team of the Month in the subject line. All right. 6'1", welcome to the show. Miss Enthusiasm on the microphone.
Thanks for having me.
Good to see you. Another awesome year for you. 3rd consecutive Southwestern Conference individual championship. 5th place at regional. 6th place at sectional. But probably your best finish was your 12th place finish at the state tournament this year.
Yes, definitely. A better finish than my freshman year, so, and hopefully even better next year.
How will you remember this season? How would you describe it?
I would say a lot of record breakers. We had a few wins for our team. I don't know, just some records. Like, I broke the school record shooting a 66, so I would say that's a pretty big thing.
Where did you shoot that?
At Far Oaks Golf Course at the first day of conference.
66.
Yes.
Can you describe that day?
I can just remember the last hole. I was 4 under, and well, actually the hole before that, I hit in the bunker, and I had to I had an up and down out of the bunker for par, and I was going to the last hole, and I was 4 under, and then I just stuck it like 6 feet from the pin, and I made my eagle putt to shoot 6 under, and I was like, oh my gosh, I broke the school record.
So you knew it was a school record as you were playing? You knew that if you eagled that hole?
Yes. Well, I knew if I just birdied it, because the school record is 4 under, and I tied it before, and so I knew I just needed 5 under, and the last number 18 is a pretty easy birdie hole, so I was pretty confident.
Those are words you've never heard me say. Number anything is an easy birdie hole. It's good for you. So hitting out of the sand, is that something that is easy for you, or is that worrisome for you?
No, I would say I have a lot of confidence out of the sand. I mean, I like hitting out of the sand. When I hit in there, I don't automatically think like, oh no, like I just think I just need to get this out in one putt to get my par. Mm.
Okay, so you had goals going into this season in terms of improving certain aspects of your game, because I had you on the podcast last year and you talked about how you were going to improve your game. Did you feel like you met your goals this year in terms of how you wanted to improve?
Yes, I definitely think, yeah, I would say my wedges were better. I was sticking them closer, making my putts this year, I would say. That's how I got lower and lower, was making my putts. So I would say improve that.
How do you work on your putting? Do you work on your putting by playing or by getting out on the practice green?
The practice green, definitely. Just practicing your putting every day. I would say that's how you get better.
What kind of putter do you use?
Scotty Cameron.
Have you always used it?
Yes. Well, that and Odyssey.
Okay. So what are your goals for next year? Next year is your big year, your senior year. And probably, I think I've been mistaking you for a senior since I saw you as a sophomore. What are your goals for next year?
My main big goal is to win state. That's like a big goal. And then I would say to win the Southwest Conference for the fourth year in a row. And I really want our team to go to state for my senior year as a team.
And next year is going to be unique for you because next year will be the first year that you will be playing on the team with your sibling.
Yes, my younger sister.
Who finished fourth place middle school state last year?
Third place. Yes.
Let's not cheat her out of a place. So what are you expecting playing with her?
I'm expecting her to do pretty well. I'm going to think she's going to do pretty well. And I don't know. I think she's going to try to beat me. I think that's her main goal.
Really?
Yeah, she really wants to beat me, I think.
Are you preparing her for high school golf? Are you talking to her about what to be prepared for?
I would think so. I tell, like, sometimes I, like, help her on the range and stuff. And, like, I just give her advice sometimes. Like, I'm like, you need to do this if you want to improve, kind of, like, certain things. Like, just getting her to practice more and go out and play with me even is fun. So,
is she reluctant to play with you?
No, she likes playing with me, but I don't know.
Is she less of a... less of a constant practicer than you are? Is that what you're...
She loves to play.
Okay.
Like, she would go out and play 18. I am a range rat. I like to go on the range and practice. But I still like playing. But I would say she's more of on the course and...
She likes to compete.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are you going to tell her if you haven't had the exact conversation with her about what to expect in high school golf and how to thrive in it? What are you going to tell her?
Like to thrive, like,
yeah, how to be great. If you're going to tell her how to have a great high school career, how to have a great freshman year, what are you going to tell her? What does it take to be awesome?
Not overthink it and just trust your game. Just know that you have it. Like, I know she has it. So you just have to get out there and shoot the scores.
Yeah. Cool. What about in terms of your game? What are you working on right now? What are you going to really work on this summer going into your senior season?
I would just say consistency, making those putts when you need them. Like, if you hit a shot in close, you need to make your putt. And that's what I think will get me to next level.
Okay. So I'm sure you're thinking beyond high school, and I'm sure you're thinking you want to play collegiately. What are some of the schools that you're looking at, or is it not narrowed down to specific schools yet?
It's not narrowed down, but I would just say like Midwest, some South, but mainly in the Midwest, I would say.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited though.
So it's a big part of what you plan to do?
Yes, definitely going to play college.
Okay. Any ideas what you want to study in college?
I'm not set yet, but something in like business area, I would say.
All right. Let's talk about your MESPY winning season a little bit more. You had a great two rounds at state. I think 12th place is a solid finish. How would you describe how you played?
I would say I played okay. The first day I had a not so good front nine, but then I came back and shot 3 under on the back nine. And then I would say the last number 18 is what got me. Number 18, I would say, is the hardest hole at state on the state course. And that's really what made me move down a few spots. If I could have just gotten number 18 into.
What makes the hole so tough?
It's just a very long hole over. Okay, so you have to hit like a layup shot to a creek, but there's trees on the right. There's a bunker on the left. And it's like always like a 180-yard shot in. But there's a bunkers on both sides of the green. It's just a very tough hole, I would say.
What did you use off the tee?
Usually like a 3-wood. So.
How was the team this year? The team experience. The team finished tied for first at regionals.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We tied with O'Fallon.
And the team won the conference.
No, we didn't win conference.
Did you win the tournament? I thought you beat O'Fallon, not overall in the conference. I'm sorry. Did you beat? Oh, I guess it was the regional I was thinking of. O'Fallon won the conference outright.
Yeah.
But you tied them. And didn't it come down to a tiebreaker?
It came down.
That's what I was thinking of.
It came down to Ruhi, who shot, I think she shot an 84 maybe, and it came down to her score.
Okay. Apologies to O'Fallon. O'Fallon was the conference champion. They won it outright. Mm-hmm. But you tied them at regional, and it came down to a tiebreaker. And that was the exciting finish that I remembered. Mm-hmm. Best tournament of the year for the team?
Yeah, I would say regionals, we all, like, we were just very consistent as a team. I think we had 4 rounds in the 70s maybe, which is probably the best we've had the whole season for consistency.
What are you most looking forward to next year as a senior? What's the thing when you close your eyes and you think about your senior year, what do you think about first?
I mean, just having a fun season with the team. I'm the only senior, so it's going to be a lot of younger people, but that's okay. And I would just say making it to state as a team is, like, I want that in my senior season, like, to have that experience, like, going to state with my team.
Is that something you plan to verbalize to these girls? Is that something you plan to tell them? Or do you just plan to provide an example in terms of your work ethic and hope that that works out?
I think I would express to them that, we really need to go to state this year, like, it's so much like fun whenever you get to go to state as a team. You get to travel up there, like you get to stay the night, and then you have like everybody's playing at state. It's not just like yourself. Like, it's just a lot of fun.
What will it take for the team to qualify? Like, I mean for this group of girls to qualify for state, what will they have to do?
I think we're gonna have to be very consistent and have at least 3 rounds in the 70s, maybe 60s, like, just be very consistent, I think, to make it. I think if we could, consistency is just key, I think.
Okay, where are you going to train this summer, mostly? Where do you practice?
Sunset Hills.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So you'll be out at Sunset, and you'll be practicing 6-7 days a week, and you'll be playing how many tournaments this summer?
I don't know if I have, like, an exact number, but usually – I mean, I would say 3 or 4 a month, I would think.
So you plan to? So you think you'll play 9 to 12? You'll play 9, 10 tournaments this summer?
Actually, no, probably more than that. I would say like 4 a month.
Really?
So, yeah.
So you'll play 1 a week every single week. Are there ever weeks when you play 2 tournaments?
Sometimes if like there's a really big tournament that like you want to play like in both of the tournaments, like. And they're, like, very close together than you would play in both.
Okay.
And some of them are just, like, qualifiers. So, like, it might just be a one-day thing. So it's not like a whole 4-day. But once you get to the bigger tournaments, then it's, like, 4 days.
We're talking with Nicole Johnson, 2-way Golf Mespy winners. And our Golf Mespies are presented by Oak Brook Golf Club, located northeast of Edwardsville. Oak Brook Golf Club is a family-owned 27-hole public golf facility. Their goal is to offer the highest quality golf experience for a reasonable fee. Oak Brook is consistently recognized for awards such as Friendliest Staff, Best Course to Host a Fundraiser, and Best Senior Scramble in the Bi-State Area. From fundraisers to leagues to instruction to an afternoon out on the links by yourself, The Brook wants to win your business. I've personally played and hosted multiple golf scrambles there, and I will attest, Mike Surrey and his staff are the best. To book your tee time or to start organizing your next fundraising scramble, give them a call at 656-5600 or check them out online at oakbrookgc.com. And that's where you play your home matches, right?
Yes.
So that's a course that you know really well.
Yes, I've played there many times.
I think every young person in the Metro East has played there with team golf, with all the tournaments and events they host, and all the work that they do with all the local high schools. How many local high schools play at Oak Brook as their Triad, Metro East, McGivney, EHS, Highland?
No, Highland's not at there. But Mike Surrey is just like so awesome for letting all these teams just practice out there and use the course. Like, yeah. He's just amazing for letting us do that.
He really is. He really is great. And I said that before he was a sponsor. I had him on the show, and I said great things about him before Oak Brook was a sponsor. So the promoting and the encouragement and the help he gives to junior golf is really incredible. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Nicole, thanks so much for coming by again this year. I can't wait to see you again next year. I can't wait to see you in Sports and Lit next year. Do you have it in the fall or the spring?
I'm not sure yet because my schedule isn't out yet, but I signed up for it, so...
Well, you're going to love it. I guarantee it. All right. Nicole Johnson, Edwardsville High School 2A MESBY winner. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Joe Shannon, cross-country coach at Highland High School, here to accept his 2A MESBY for Boys Team of the Year. But first, I got to talk about Cassens Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. Thanks to partner Cassens Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, the number one place to purchase a vehicle in the Metro East. If you're in the market for a new or a pre-owned car, check out Cassens inventory in person, where they've been for 25 years, or online at Cassens.com. Cassens has earned the highest ratings for customer service. Their expert staff is committed to making your car buying experience enjoyable, including convenient on-site financing. I've purchased 4 vehicles there. My daughter drives an IU Red Jeep Cherokee, and my wife and I are on our second Jeep Grand Cherokee. With over 80 years of experience in the Metro East, Cassens is the clear-cut leader for quality, service, and customer satisfaction. Go see Steve, Cliff, Holly, Greg, Bob, Mike, Tony, or Trent today. Welcome to the show, former student of mine.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Joe Shannon. Congrats on the new head. It's official. You're going to be the head coach next year at Highland High School?
Signing, but it's just something we've been saying, I guess, for a few months now. So
okay.
I assume, unless something goes wrong. But
but you're thinking you're going to be the head coach for boys and girls next
boys
year.
Boys and girls cross country next year. Yep.
So let's unpack your story first. You were a cross country runner at Edwardsville High School, and then you went on to McHenry.
Yep.
Ran there for all 4 years?
Ended up taking about 6 years because of I redshirted 1 year. My senior year, I redshirted so I can get over the hump for student teaching, to kind of push everything up a little bit, because you kind of know how it is. You can't compete in a sport and really do student teaching at the same time.
Exactly.
So did student teaching, decided to come back that fifth year to run track. COVID happens. Then I ended up taking grad classes last year while I was a study hall teacher at O'Fallon and the assistant boys coach there, and came back for a final outdoor season.
Wow. Good for you.
Thank you.
The fastest 6 years of your life, right?
It was a while. It's a long time in Lebanon, Illinois, tell you what.
Well, I got to tell you what. I mean, what I think of when I look at you, I think of your dear grandmother. I think of Kathy Shannon, who is a family friend, first of all. But for me professionally, was the heart and soul of the athletic department administration. She was the athletic director secretary for 20 years.
More than that, I think.
You think it was longer than that?
I don't know. I don't want to mess it up, but to put it into perspective, she was there from the time my dad was in school.
Okay,
My two uncles, and then she retired my sophomore year.
Yeah.
Around Christmas, she retired.
Because she was there in 94 when I came, and I think she'd been there for a while, but I wasn't under the impression she'd been there that long. Yeah, she only retired maybe like 8 years ago or so, right?
Yeah, like I said, so sophomore year.
Four, five.
I was 20, 2012, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, because 2011 was, I'm really doing great math here. 2011 was my freshman year, 2012. Yeah, so it was 2012 she retired. Before the, so in between 2012 and 2013.
Well, she was awesome because she was so mean to me every single day. She was great.
Oh, that's the thing is everybody's always like, she's the nicest lady.
Yeah, and she's like, fantastic.
Just to hear all the jokes she says because
yeah, no,
she's great.
She's great. She really, and she is still living in Edwardsville. I spoke to her fairly recently over the phone and she's doing great. And she's very angry with you though, Joe, because she wants you to call more often. So I'm just throwing that out there for you now. So anyway.
I call as much as I can.
I'm kidding you. She's not angry with you. Tell me about coaching. You loving it?
Oh, love it. I like teaching. I love teaching a lot. Don't get me wrong, but I think you probably know how it is. It's like, especially those last 2 hours of the day, it's something you really look forward to is going out there with your group of kids, work, seeing kids get better throughout the year. It's 1,000 times more rewarding than it was as an athlete. I mean,
really?
I mean,
you're loving it more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, love it. I mean, seeing the face of a kid who just got a PR in cross country or track, no matter where they're at on the team, every meet, you're at least going to probably have one kid do well. I mean, hopefully. I mean, but most, you're at least going to have one kid do well. That makes it worth, like, going to it. I mean, it's just different than when you're an athlete, like, it's just, I don't know how to explain it.
It's more selfish.
Yeah, it's more selfish.
That's one thing I would say. Like, to be a coach, you have to be more selfless.
Mm-hmm. And I really like that transition, to be honest.
That's great.
Because, I mean, especially this past year, where I was a coach in the fall for O'Fallon, and then the spring, when I came back and ran, I was just like, this isn't really me anymore at this point. But I still worked my butt off and see what I could put up there. But being a coach is... it's definitely in the right situation for me. I really like being in Highland.
Great. And what are you teaching?
I'm teaching history, U.S. history to juniors, and then world history to freshmen.
When did you know you wanted to be a coach and a teacher?
Teacher would be after I had U.S. honors U.S. history with Mr. Gall. I was like, this is pretty cool.
Right.
And then my senior year kind of affirmed it more when I had Herman for psychology, because I got history and psychology also. So if there ever is enough room to teach psychology.
So Mr. Gall and Mr. Herman, big influences on you.
Oh, huge. Herman I had for psychology, and I really enjoyed that class. That led me to take way more psychology classes in college than I think I was anticipating before. And then with Gall and history, it made me fascinated with it. Like, I wanted to keep reading about it. I had him for... the class, I really liked him for U.S. history, but tell you what, with foreign policy, that was a really cool class because you get into all the, I think it started right around the Cold War era. And I think that's when the U.S. foreign policy really gets pretty interesting to talk about.
Cool. Let's talk about your team this year. You guys have a great rivalry with CM amongst other teams. And you lost to them at the regional, but you finished ahead of them at sectionals and also at state. What's your takeaway from this season?
We had a fantastic year. Coach Bradley's really built this program up from the head down. He was the middle school coach for a while. And then about, I want to say 5-6 years ago, I could have the math wrong on that, but he's been the high school coach for a while too. Bradley's really built Highland running from the ground up. And then I think this year we really got to see it come to fruition when we saw a guys team qualify for state and a girls team qualify for state for the first time in school history. That was really cool to see.
But he's stepping away from it.
Yeah, this is his last year, so he's retiring after this year.
So perfect timing for you.
Oh, huge shoes to fill, but I'm looking forward to see what
are you going to keep him around in any aspect? Have you talked to him about coming out and volunteering or not?
I'm waiting to see what he wants to do. I mean, it's his retirement, so I don't want to – it's up to him what he wants to do.
All right. I want to talk to you about your vision for the program and where you want to take it. But first, I want to talk about Andy Callaway of Callaway Home Loans, because he saves me money every month now, and he'll save my family thousands in the long run. How? He refinanced my existing mortgage, and he can do the same for you. Rates are low, but they're rising, supposedly. So you need to take advantage of an easy, fast, and affordable way to refinance. They do conventional FHA and VA loans. and ask for the MESP special. If you refinance with Andy, he will donate $100 to the Metro East High School or Junior High team of your choice. Refinance with Andy and he'll give $100 to Highland Cross Country, or he'll give $100 to Highland Tennis or Track, or you name it. Give him a call today at 618-830-3332. Save money and support your favorite team in the Metro East. Okay, you guys had a great year this year. Achieved, qualified for state, finished just outside of the top 30. But you're going to be the head man next year. You're going to be the guy in charge. What's your vision for the cross-country program at Highland High School?
This next year is going to be huge. So we had our core group of – so on the guy's side, we're only losing one member who was varsity. And that was our number six guy who – I mean, still a huge part of the team. But if you're looking at who scores, that's not someone who was normally – he never scored for us normally. So when you can bring back a team with everybody –
with your top five.
Yeah, with your top five, that's huge. And we have the group of juniors we have right now that are going to be seniors next year. I'm really looking forward to see how far they can move up. Dallas Mancini should be in the hunt. He was our number one the whole year through and through.
And I saw he was a sophomore.
Sophomore, yep. He's going to be a junior next year. He's going to be this past year, he was kind of starting to get some more and more confidence. He's had some injuries this winter. But I'm looking forward to see what this group can do during the spring and track, and then how much better we can get during the summer. So we have a group of four juniors who are going to be seniors: Cole Basin, Ethan Smith, Mason Steinbeck, and Isaac Irving. Also, Braden Wakely is in the mix. So we have a good group of kids who are going to be seniors. And believe me, this is the nicest group of kids. I mean, that's typical cross country. Don't get me wrong, but
no kidding.
They exemplify cross country kids, great students, great kids. So it makes my job to work with them. I mean, I'm sure you know, like when you work with kids like that, it makes
my kids have always been rattlesnakes, all of them, ever since I started. But are you running with them? You doing the workouts with them?
No, not really.
You're not?
I was running with the girls on their easy days during the season, and then during the winter training, I was running with the guys a little bit. And then over Christmas break, I caught COVID. So then I'm trying to manage practices right now because I'm the head boys track coach. So
okay.
I'm trying to manage practices with sprints, distance, jumps. So I don't really have time to really run with them nearly as much during the track season as I probably will. During the summer, I want to get going again.
What's the difference between being the head track coach? I think that's a huge difference between being the head track coach and being the head cross country coach.
It is, especially so. I don't want to be a typical. There's a lot of throughout the state and throughout the country. There's a lot of cross country coaches who will become head track coaches, and coaching sprinting is completely different than coaching distance. And also, the sprints dominate the vast, like over 3/4 of the events on a track meet.
For the points,
yeah. And that's what it's about.
I didn't know that.
And it's about cleaning up on points, is how well your track team does. So ultimately right now I'm working really well. I'm working with the football team, trying to see how many guys. But I'm trying to do exactly what Lakatus did in his first few years when he was at EHS. Just build a team, see how many good – because the best track teams in the state are the best athletes. I mean, it's the coach who just gets the football players, who gets the basketball players to come out and work hard and then come out for track season. And ultimately, the best athletes are going to win no matter what.
And that's going to happen if you convince him that you're going to make his football players faster,
mm-hmm.
which I think is sort of a no-brainer.
It is. It's getting the kids to want to come out. So,
are you going to work with Holler to feed the cats?
That's what I got. I have some feed the cat. I've been watching his dad's like videos all the time, trying to
former guest on the show and Tony Holler and Alec Holler. But Tony has revolutionized sprinting and how sprinters are trained internationally.
Oh, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
Football teams have like taken what he's done and just put it on their football team program. So he's revolutionized the whole entire sport. And it's not like just at the high school level. It's the collegiate level. It's the way people just train athletes, period.
Yes.
And when I was going to be the coach this year, I'm like, well, I know this works. Like 100% I know this works.
And that's a whole new mindset to Highland. So you're going to bring the Feed the Cats mindset program to Highland.
As much as I can.
It's going to work.
First year. Thank you. I appreciate
it's going to work. If you do it right and you'll get the buy-in, if you can communicate with football coach and convince him, and as soon as he starts seeing some results, it'll work. I mean, it just works.
Yeah, because right now, the past few weeks, we call it speed camp, and I got the idea from Holler, where you pretty much just take a huge, as much athletes as you can get from football, whoever wants to come out to get quicker. Don't take attendance. Kind of, it's pretty low key, but you just try to get them to build. And the big idea for what I'm doing during the speed camp is just trying to get kids their 40-yard dash times as quick as possible. Because that's a number. Your 40-yard dash time is, if you're a football player, that's, you know, you can relate to that number really well. So the better I can get that, the more they can see how much, the more you run, the quicker you'll be. I mean, it's a pretty simple concept, but I think it's something you have to see the numbers before you can buy into it.
I think it's revolutionary in the sense that it's running less. Mm-hmm. You know, it's running less. It's never running distance for the sprinters. Nope. Anyway, if people want to know more about it, all you got to do is Google search Feed the Cats Sprint and look at the YouTube videos, and there's just so much out there on it. And kudos to the Hollers for doing that to Tony for thinking that whole thing through. And
oh God,
his whole story is just amazing.
It is. And I mean, the thing was, is, I mean, I've watched the video probably like three or four times.
Well, there's multiple videos. There's, you know, there's
when he goes into his story, cause he didn't do the Feed the Cats initially when he
right.
was the coach. And then he was just like, nah, I need to change this. And then, I mean, the change is just crazy. I mean, that was the reason my senior year we won state track as a team. I mean, I saw it happen in Edwards. So I saw our team get better year in, year out.
Yeah, that's amazing. Okay, so how much of your vision mirrors what you learned in high school? How much of your vision for the Highland track and cross-country teams mirrors what you learned at Edwardsville High School?
It mirrors it pretty similar. Like, so we've had – Highland's had a really good tradition with girls going to state pretty much every year. It's kind of an expectation. With this being the first time the boys have qualified since 2001, it's one of those things – I've talked to – when I was student teaching with Jim Helton at Father McGivney, you just want it to become an expectation to make it to state. And then the next big thing is you want to break the top 15. And then, like, the next goal is year by year you want the program to get better. That's the biggest thing. But you want to change that expectation every year. And you want to hold a higher expectation for your team the more your team builds and gets better. And that way when you make it to – so, for example, next year when my guys' team makes it to state, bar no injury or anything crazy happen, next year when we make it to state, it won't be a surprise when we make it. I mean, we're not going to be going crazy like we did this past year because we slipped in on a rainy day. We had – like, I think 6 shoes lost on kids. I had Cam Pace ran 2 miles shoeless and scored, and we still qualified to make it in.
Wow. Lost both shoes?
Both shoes. It was a mud pit. they did their best to get the course ready, but it was a complete mud pit. We had so many kids lose their shoes. I've never seen it before, and, you know, I've been around the sport for a while. But that just shows how tough our team was to make it. But I think this next year it's going to go in. We expect to make it to state instead of the goals to make the state. Now the goals, you know, you move the goal up next year because we have this group of juniors that's been working their tail off and really excited to see what we're going to end up being.
Joe Shannon, Highland High School boys cross country 2A MESPY winner. Thanks so much for coming by and looking forward to following you throughout your career.
Appreciate it. Thank
you. Tell Kathy I said hi.
Will do, for sure. Thank you.
Going to talk modern day football with Coach Jim Stiebel and also Cameron Haig, his star receiver, who had a really amazing year and an even more amazing career. 4 years at modern day that I want to try to talk about here in a minute. But first, I got to talk about my friends, of course, Jeb and Ginger Blasting Game at Keller Williams Marquis. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Metro East on the Illinois or Missouri side, please give our partners at Keller Williams Marquis, Jeb and Ginger Blasting Game, the chance to serve you. They have offices in Waterloo, O'Fallon, and Edwardsville with more than 130 agents. The Blasting Games are a family-owned business that has helped over 5,000 families find just the right home. The Lipes are one of those families. Jeb and Ginger sold our house quickly because they're experts at staging and pricing, and they helped us find the perfect home, and they can do the same for you. No wonder they're ranked in the top 10 real estate teams in North America. Give Jeb and Ginger Blasting Game a call at 618-578-9276 or check them out online at blastinggamegroup.com. You will not be disappointed. All right, let's talk some modern day football. Congratulations, guys. Amazing year again, 11-1, lost in the quarterfinals, went into the quarterfinals undefeated. Mespe winners for 2A football team of the year, and Cameron Haig, 2A Mespe winner, player of the year. Welcome back, Jim.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
What will you remember about this season, this amazing season?
Just kind of enjoying the road. It was a nice season. It was great. Also coming off of that COVID, whatever you want to call it, fog, and actually playing a season with no mask on their helmet, which they literally did 2 years ago, which was kind of odd. It was just great to be out there working with the kids and then seeing their progress, you know, through all this adversity. It's just been really special.
And to have it in the fall as opposed to having the weirdness of having it in the spring where you got to have a summer leading into it so you could prepare and put in the offense and the defense and have the season like you wanted it to.
Well, a lot of that before that spring season, whatever was that, 2021, or 20, we couldn't touch each other. So, I mean, there was people out there watching us practice and making sure we weren't touching each other. How do you practice and not physically have contact? You know, so it was really challenging as coaches and players out there working to try to get better with all these restrictions. It was really wild.
I've heard from more than one coach and more than one player, it just felt so good to have a normal season. It's like
Exactly. It's
like we all enjoyed the opportunity that then if you won, that was just like icing on the cake.
You bet. Yeah, like just being a part of normal football without any of the restrictions and enjoying every bit of it.
Let's bring the kid in on this. Awesome, awesome year this year. Undefeated going into that last game. What would you remember about this season?
I'll remember the most is just going into the season. We had a lot of doubt coming from not having too much experience on varsity. Three years, our whole team played JV, which actually helped us out a lot, bonding, becoming more of a team. And many of the old fans didn't think this would be our year, but we proved them wrong.
Really?
Yeah, we were looked down upon.
I'm kind of surprised that so many of these kids played JV for 3 years. I'm surprised your numbers are that high.
They're not. They're not. It just kind of worked out that way with the situation of everything that was going on. That's kind of stuck. And we had some good senior leadership, you know, above these guys. So it just worked out that way this year.
So let's talk about Cameron for a second. 1,289 receiving yards, 21 receiving touchdowns, and 11 picks at corner. I think I know what he meant to your team, but how can you put into words what Cameron Haig meant to your team this year?
Well, in front of him, I don't like to really, you know, pat him on the back too much, but he forced me to change my offense. I mean, I'm a lineman, so I like 4 yards in a cloud of dust in a lot of ways. And that bored me with this team. We had to get it out there and get his hands in the open field as quick as we could and as often as we could. So that was the game plan, get in one of the two special guys on our offense, his hands as quick as we could.
You got to have a good quarterback to do that, though.
Yes, we did. And our quarterback hit something that I've never seen before, and that was 68% of his completions, which is unheard of at a quarterback.
Good combination.
Yeah. Not real athletic, I'll say that, but this kid was just money on spot, and they worked together for 3 years. That chemistry was just amazing.
You know what? Kudos to you for changing your system and not playing what you wanted to play, but playing what was most conducive to your team's success based on the kids you had.
That's what you got to do every
Smart.
Year. You got to be able to, you know, modify whatever style you really want to do, what's best for the kids and the program.
Okay, so this was year number 12 for you. Could you have made that kind of adjustment earlier in your career, or was that the result of, you know, now you're older and smarter, you've been doing this for over a decade as a head coach?
I would have probably kept running it. Year one, year two, maybe year three, maybe I would have stuck with what I do best. But I obviously feel a little more comfortable with the talent that we had. It was just the best thing for us to do, just get them the ball in space as
quick. And it worked.
And it worked.
It obviously worked because you put up some huge offensive numbers. 54 points against Carmi. You put up 50 against DuCoin, 65 against Marquette. So, you know, you start scratching your head saying to yourself, how the heck does Cameron Haig score 21 touchdowns in 11 games? It's like when you look at the offensive numbers, it starts to make sense. All right, let's talk to you, Cameron, because you were a star on defense too. 11 picks at corner is impressive. Which side of the ball do you prefer, or is it just you just want to play football?
I prefer offense, just having the ball in your hands. It's more me. But defense is always fun. That's where I played junior year on varsity, so I had a little more experience behind that, but offense was fun.
Do you model your game after any players that you've seen?
No, I actually never grew up playing football or watching it much, and I just got into it freshman year as a source of lifting, becoming more athletic, and I grew to love it.
What are the other sports that you grew up with?
Baseball and basketball are my two main.
Are you still playing those?
Yes.
I think I saw that on the Modern Day website that you are playing basketball this year too. Go ahead, Jim.
Didn't you almost play golf as a freshman?
I did. I was going to play golf because my best friend growing up played it, but he was too good for me, so I was like, I'm just going to play football.
Lucky for you, huh, Jim?
Yeah, I would say so. I do remember that, though. I remember him and his family were a little hesitant, you know, about injuries in that sport as well. So I remember when he was a little freshman. He's grown a lot, but it would be interesting to see what, you know, 18 months of a college Division I program could do to a body that's never really experienced that. I mean, I think he could be 25 pounds heavier because he's never really focused on that. So it would be interesting to see, you know, what he could do if he had the, you know, the developmental program to, you know, make him, you know, see what he could do with his body.
Right, because he's going from football to basketball to baseball, so he's not ever getting that chance to really put on weight because he is working so hard.
Other than PE, you know, which isn't really, you know, conducive to what, you know, to make yourself better at a sport. But, yeah, you bet. So if he could really do that, you know, at a serious program, the sky's the limit with his ability, what he could do.
Okay. What did Cameron mean off the field? I know that we understand that he was just amazing, amazing receiver, and you had to figure out a way to get the ball into his hands and that he was awesome on the defensive side of the ball too. What did he mean to the program off the field?
Absolute leader by example. Works his tail off at everything he does. Everybody that, you know, knows him, coaches him, are his peers, will go out of their way in every which way they can to make sure that, you know, to do whatever we can to make our program better. And that's the type of kid he is.
Leader in the classroom, on the field, leader by example, vocal leader. How would you describe him? Leadership style?
All the intangibles. You can't. And that's what you want. That's what a kid you want to fight for and make sure he gets that opportunity in college. You know, a kid that, you know, you can say, hey, you know, I did everything I could for this kid. I've sent out as many tweets as I can to every college coach that I know around here, anybody that I know. And I wouldn't do that for the average person. You know, that shows what type of character, you know, this kid has. So he just needs an opportunity.
Rooting
and it's just going to take one coach to be like, you know what, this is a kid I want to give an opportunity to.
Okay, Cameron, so at this point you are thinking about, you've got several schools in the hopper that you are considering, and there have been some conversations with some coach, with Coach Stiebel. What's your ideal college situation? I know that we talked off mic, and I know that you are interested in playing in college. If the right situation presents itself, where are your ideal locations?
I'd say my ideal locations would be a bigger university. He's talked to Illinois a little bit. Mizzou as well, but it'd have to be like a bigger university. I'd walk on if I had to.
Okay. Any ideas in what you would want to study?
Right now I'm looking to studying civil engineering.
So this kid's smart too, huh?
Smarter than I am, I'll tell you that.
Recreational sciences for you and me, but this kid here wants to be an engineer. Exactly. So, well, both those schools have good engineering programs. Sure. I think one of them is a little ahead of the other in terms of engineering, but, you know, in-state, you never know what's going to work out, and I think if you keep grinding, and I think things are loosening up a little bit. There was a time last year when seniors were competing against 6 years of college kids because of COVID. Everybody had 6 years of eligibility. Well, now some people are starting to lose their eligibility because, you know, they're finally graduating and being done. So I think more scholarships are becoming available. And I think that's good for kids like you that are just looking for your opportunity to play. All right, so you're not going to be at Mater Dei next year after playing 12 seasons at Mater Dei High School because you've played three sports for 4 years by the time you're all done. Yes. What are you going to miss?
I'm going to miss the most is Mater Dei is such a small school, so it's all a brotherhood. Your friends growing up, you all play three sports. It's just a great time being with everybody.
How important was it to you that you played three sports?
That's actually one thing I've looked back on, and I've been so excited that I've played all four years. It's grown me in many ways.
Like what?
Well, being a junior on a varsity baseball team, I had to step up my role, and matured me a lot.
What position do you play in baseball?
Shortstop, and then I had a fill-in catcher last year.
So what do we have to look forward to next year from Mater Dei football coach?
A lot. We lose some talented kids, though, and they're irreplaceable. And a lot of those kids were skill kids like Cameron here. We have four of our five linemen up front offensively returning. So we're really excited about their experience and what that really can do for our team, especially early on in the year. And our whole defensive line is back. We do have to replace our DBs, and that was the critical and key spots to our team last year with all that athletic ability. On
both all of them? All the DBs, 100%? All the corners, safeties, 100%? All of them?
Yes, sir, unfortunately. But, again, we have some guys that will be able to fill in there, and we're working on in the meantime trying to get those guys ready to go.
It seems like you do that every year because every year that I've had the podcast and even looking back historically, every year for the last 12 years, you guys have had a solid program. And that's the difference between being a team that's good once in a while. What's the key to you developing these kids year after year that you're not like trying to figure out, okay, who's going to play corner? Like you have an idea already who's going to play these spots.
I mean, of course, you better have a system, you know, or somebody's going to, you know, have a better system than you and they're going to be able to beat you. But we're working. Soon as we had an opportunity, we're, you know, trying to get bigger, faster, stronger as soon as we could in the weight room. On the field, run routes, nothing with the ball, but whatever we can do to get, you know, athletically an edge on somebody in the weight room, we're doing. PE, we're doing strength conditioning, and we're getting at it, you know, on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, I feel like that gives us an edge because I don't think any high schools are doing that around here, but obviously I don't want to promote it either, you know, then others might jump on board. But that's an edge for us, and that makes a big difference.
Are you teaching that?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm teaching three PE classes that are just high school, simple strength conditioning 101. And then I teach two college courses that we step it up a level, and it's through KC.
Also at Mater Dei?
Correct.
Okay. Cool. And your background as a professional athlete has enabled you to have the toolbox, so to speak, to know how to train these kids.
Exactly. I went to the University of Nebraska. I learned from Boyd Epley, who's obviously one of the most renowned strength coaches in the industry. Then I transferred to the University of Kansas, started 3 years there. And I was under Fred Roll, who's another guy that's just outstanding in the Midwest, and then had an opportunity to work for Estevan Javorek at Johnson County Community College, which is world-renowned. And, you know, decided that I could do that on my own in Belleville and did that for about 10 years, training people on my own at Firehouse Gym before I decided to get back in coaching.
Okay. And you're also a three-time state champion at Altoff, twice in football and once in baseball.
Correct. 89 in baseball. I'm sorry, in football, 90 in football and 91 in baseball, and I pitched the game.
How did your high school experience or how does your high school experience, your high school success, help you as a coach today, or does it have any influence on your coaching today?
Without a doubt. But if you look at any of my friends from when we played, all these guys are successful. I could go through, you know, a whole Rolodex of guys. Vic Faust, for one of them, Channel 2. Rich Soje, the mayor of Soje, Illinois. Hickey Thompson, his son's playing for Mizzou right now. And that's just, you know, a couple of them right off the bat there. Luther Harden, who played with me in Nebraska and is a successful businessman. With success, breeds success, and you go on with life, and then you just get used to having success. It just kind of comes normal. So that's what I want to do is I want to succeed, and that's what I want to do it in is football.
Good for you. Well said. Cameron, what was it like to play for Coach Stiebel?
Not knowing football, he taught me a lot. He's for sure gives a little fire to you every practice, and there's no joking around. You're taking it straight, and that's why we're so successful with the program.
Organized, tough, strong. Are those the words that you would
all
use?
All the above.
That's the way he comes across to me. He comes across as a guy with a vision who's no nonsense, who's used to winning and playing sports at the highest level, and he wants to keep doing it. Okay, so I'm looking at this season, and is week number two your favorite week of the regular season, the Milk Bowl against Central?
I would say that the kids' favorite week is week two. My personal week would probably be week three. I went to Altoff.
Right.
That's a little more relevant to me. And the kids, you know, I wouldn't say they can't stand Central, but just when we play them, we want to win. When we don't play them, we want them to win.
Describe the atmosphere at the Milk Bowl, Cameron.
It's been crazy. Ever since I was growing up, I've gone to the Milk Bowl every year.
Even as a kid?
Even as a kid. I've always wanted to go to Meyer Day. I went to Westland in middle school. But the atmosphere is crazy. The whole town of Breeze is there. And your friend's off the field, but once you get on there, there's no going back.
Where is the game played? Does Meyer Day have its own stadium, and Central has their own? You don't share stadiums like Marquette and Alton,
right?
You guys have your own stadiums, and so you transfer every year, right?
Correct. This year it was at Central, and it was a dandy.
21-7.
It was 21-0 at one point, but they did make it a little more interesting.
So you had a great team this year, but Central was no joke either, obviously.
Exactly. Yeah, they were really good. That was probably the best Central team I've seen ever.
Really?
Yes.
Have you ever lost a Milk Bowl?
Yeah, I think we've lost two over my 12 years.
During your tenure?
Correct.
And then going through the season, how much of the schedule remains the same for you guys for next year?
Everything is the same. Obviously, it just flips if we're home away, except for week seven, we changed to Granite City.
Okay. And I just heard that their coach and their staff all resigned. Did you know that?
I did not.
I just heard that last week.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, that their coach resigned. And so I'm not sure what the story is. It was I heard that from an employee in Granite City. So I haven't verified that yet, but that's what I heard.
Good to know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We'll see what happens. But, well, Cameron, I wish you the best of luck. I hope you get an opportunity. I think you will. And I hope you make the most of it. I know you will once that opportunity comes.
11 interceptions is unheard of. I don't even know of anybody if it's close to an Illinois record, I need to probably check that. But the kid just needs an opportunity. One coach to bite, you know, to say, hey, let me spend, you know, a little time with this kid to see if we can develop into something that what we think we can make him.
Where would you put him if you were the college coach? Would you put him as a slot receiver? Would you put him as a corner? Where would you put him? Punt returner?
That's probably right away would be punt returner, kickoff returner.
Did you do any of that in high school?
Yes.
Both?
Both my junior and senior, I did both kickoff and punt return.
But I would wait and see where you're most. He's most needed. You know, there's going to be a side of the ball that needs help. And after you develop this kid, and then he see how fast he is and how he does so well separating himself from other people. You know, you can't go wrong. It's not like where you can waste a scholarship on a kid that's kind of a turd.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Maybe that's probably not the best phrase, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But this kid's not a turd, so it's not a wasted scholarship. So it's just an opportunity.
Separation and speed. What else does he bring to the field? that a college coach was looking for?
Confidence, fearless, will sacrifice his body for his team to win.
Hitter? Hard hitter?
If need be.
Awesome. Okay, well, Coach Jim Steeble, thanks so much for coming by. Cameron Haig, 2A Mespy winner, player of the year. Always a pleasure to see you, Coach.
Thank you.
Looking forward to seeing you again next year after after another successful modern day football season. Quarterfinals is good. Quarterfinals is a strong finish for anybody. But I know you guys have had a lot of success too.
We got to find a way to make it over that hump, and we're doing everything we can, all the little intangibles, to try to do that this next year.
That'll wrap up show number 56. Big thanks to guests Nicole Johnson, Joe Shannon, Jim Steeble, Cameron Haig, and for partners Callaway Home Loans, Cassens, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, Keller Williams Marquee, Jeb and Ginger Blasting Game, Integrity Spine and Joint Center, Oak Brook Golf Club, and Front Office Fiduciary Network, our producers Brian Kroc and Everett Hicks. Thank you for listening to the Metro Esports Podcast, talking all things sports, the Metro East.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.